This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Ross Martin inside Carolina joining us. I won't tell you that he's at the President's Cup already, but that's where Ross is because he is like that. I hope you have a great day with your dad. I really do. I think that is an awesome experience. I have done that before. There's nothing like it. The President's Cup is great, but really, time with Pops, man. Undefeated. So let me ask you this before we get to the game this weekend against Notre Dame. Why did Drake May feel compelled to apologize for the joke everybody else was making?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it was his decision. I think
of course it wasn't.
I asked Mac Brown that, and he said that, you know, him and Drake and UNC's SID, Jeremy Sharp, got together, decided to issue the apology. You know, and you know, Courtney Bangar apologized for what she said about, you know, NC State earlier. So we're in this world now where you apologize, you offend people, and people get so offended so quickly. But it was funny. I think it's great for the rivalry to have, you know, the top player for UNC talking some junk.
Yeah.
In September ahead of the November game. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're living. He's already got state on his brain, and we're 2 months away from the game. I love the whole thing. I wish, like, you and I feel the same about this. There was no reason to apologize. Even state fans were not offended by this. All right, let's get to the matter at hand against Notre Dame. Carolina's undefeated. Notre Dame twice defeated. And it's obviously not a vintage Notre Dame team, but I don't think that matters a lick. Talk about the opportunity in front of North Carolina coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity. It's a chance to go 4-0, and that's what a lot of the players said on Tuesday. Just, you know, I mean, how many times has UNC been 4-0? I think it's 1997 last time it happened. That just looks awesome. Looks awesome on paper. You're two games away from bowl eligibility. But then UNC hasn't had a big win like this since Mac Brown's been back. You know, beating Miami in 2019, beating South Carolina in 2019, those were big wins. They haven't really competed at a high level against a national program. You know, they had a chance against Texas A&M in 2020. So, like, they need these big wins. And Notre Dame, even though they are 1-2 with a bad loss to Marshall, it is Notre Dame. And so they have a great chance here with an Irish team that's kind of reeling. And UNC has a great offense. When you have a great offense and a great quarterback, you can win these type of games, especially at home. And so I feel pretty confident about what's ahead of UNC and the opportunity to get another win at home and move to 4-0.
Ross Martin inside Carolina joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. My guess is that this is also a recruiting opportunity for UNC. Do we know, without maybe getting into specifics, just how many recruits might be at Keenan?
There'll be a lot, but it's mostly unofficial visits, I imagine, because now the way the recruiting calendar goes, all the official visits really happen in the summer. It's weird how it's changed that way because of how it's changed. But it is a lot of chances to get, you know, sophomores and juniors in high school on campus. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be like high of 75 around kickoff. It's going to be beautiful, no rain. And then it's on ABC, too. Remember that. I mean, this is Notre Dame. So you have all these families in the Midwest and the North, all across the country watching the Carolina Blue. So it's an opportunity to show off your program. And, of course, Mac loves that, a master marketer, a master politician. So it's a great setup for UNC here in mid-September.
Any hoops recruits in town?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance, depending on what kind of other income you have. You could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
Ah,
but you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
You get to subscribe to Inside Carolina for that that premium info, Adam.
Ross Martin always selling. All right, so you talk about how great the offense is. Our friend Chip Patterson, you know Chip well. So he said a few weeks ago, North Carolina has a great offense, but a Conference USA defense, which I assume is a knock on Conference USA. So explain to me where the areas of improvement we can see coming up against Notre Dame, and what do you think the ceiling is for this defense?
Yeah, I mean, the issue is the secondary and the communication between the safeties and the cornerbacks and passing off, you know, coverages and all that eye candy. That's been the big issue, getting gashed just in the passing game and giving up big yards. So that's the big issue. I think the D-line's been okay. They could get more pressure on the quarterback. But Gene Chizik, you know, he's not going to bring more than four people. Rarely does he bring five. You know, they don't run many of those blitz packages. He's a bend-don't-break type defense. Linebackers have been solid. Their tackling numbers are actually pretty good. It's just, you know, you let one big pass play go for 30, 40, 50 yards, and that can ruin a game and ruin the numbers. And so I think it's an issue of better communication, which we talked about ad nauseum in the preseason. Like, that was a big issue. We're going to get it fixed. Gene Chizik's here, get it fixed. All that good stuff, and it hasn't happened three games in. So look for that. And look, it's going to get better, I think, each and every game, but now the competition gets a little tougher too. Good chance, though, with a kind of a backup quarterback at Notre Dame coming into Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and I've watched enough of Notre Dame to know that it's not big play. It's not a big play offense. They don't have that kind of personnel. My fear is that Notre Dame is going to try, and they've been, I think, banged up, or it's, the offensive line is not vintage either. But my guess is that they're probably going to try to line it up and power the football at UNC. Are they equipped to handle that?
On paper, they are. But, yeah, those big, big offensive linemen, fourth and fifth-year seniors, I'm not exactly sure of how old they are, but that's offensive line U. And so it's a big boy game. I mean, UNC has the depth. You think they have the guys to stop it, but when you get manhandled by some of those offensive linemen and they keep running for 4 yards, then 5 yards, then a first down, you know, that kind of wears on you. And that's been the issue for UNC against Notre Dame in the last two seasons. The fourth quarter, they've been worn down, and Notre Dame's come out with the win, and that's what Mack Brown talked about a lot this week. Just they were too young, too inexperienced on defense to go against such a veteran, heavily recruited, heavily experienced offensive line for the Irish. So that's definitely a concern. I think you're right. I think they're going to try to run the ball until UNC stops them, and that's the worst nightmare for a defense if they can't stop them.
Traditional uniforms this week, powder blue, white white britches, white helmet. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I love the, you gotta get a lot of Carolina blue out there on ABC. So, you know, Carolina blue helmet, Carolina blue jersey, white pants would be great. I love the all blue, but some guys throw some Carolina blue in there. And then I always like Notre Dame's uniforms. Notre Dame's got the navy, the gold, the green,
tremendous,
all the different helmet options. I think it's a really cool uniform that the Irish can bring. So it should be a pretty cool matchup there for the television viewers.
It will be an attractive watch for sure. Final thing for Ross Martin, I appreciate your time. Where will you be viewing the President's Cup today? Will you be following a group? Will you be camping out in one of the grandstands? Where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge – I mean, I enjoy golf. I really do it to hang out with my dad.
So there you go.
He planned all out. He wants to follow Spieth and Justin Thomas, I think.
Okay.
So he'll probably follow – I don't even know if they're playing together. I have no idea.
They are. No, they are. They're the second group out.
They are.
Spieth and Thomas against Sung Jae-im and Corey Connors.
perfect. Yeah. So we're going to, trust me, Adam. Golf is not something I pay attention to a lot. So we're going to, we'll record this a little early. What is it? Kickoff at 1. first tee shot at one.
Yeah, actually, by the time this conversation is over, since you've already given up the ghost on this, since the time this conversation ends, they will be on the tee. So get to the first tee.
Yeah, so we'll watch Spieth and Justin Thomas and walk around and see. I mean, it's great because there's not that many players. There's only what, eight groups going out?
Five groups today.
You can probably see them all, and it's a great chance. So we'll sit a little bit, walk around a little bit. It's hot here, though. It's already, you know, pushing 90.
It is
here. So,
Ross, you're the best, man. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time.
All right, Adam. Have a good night. See you, man.
Take care. yes, it was recorded earlier. But it was such a fun ending, I figured, you know, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Sung J.M. and Corey Connors against Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. They actually will tee off in 8 minutes. In 8 minutes. The first matches are already off in the first fairway or thereabouts. Victoria producing the program. For people who are watching on television and you can watch this show on television, you decide whether or not that's good or not. You got a chance to see me play air drums just now. I apologize for that.
It's a great song for it.
It is a great
song. And the clapping.
It's not quite like In the Air Tonight.
Yeah.
For air drums, which, let's be honest, everybody does it.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's sort of embarrassing. Everybody does it.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I did play air drums just now. I don't play the drums, so I probably played air drums improperly. My son played the drums for a while, which was just loud.
Yes.
It's just loud.
As someone who was in the band, yes.
Oh, you were in the band?
I was.
What position?
Well,
hands over
usually
eyes.
In the front of the field.
what instrument did you play?
Flute.
Flute.
Piccolo. Then I was drum major because, you know, I had to do that. I had to overachieve, so.
Okay. I'm not making any editorial comment.
True story. Speaking of drums, this is a sidebar.
Okay.
I had a person that I used to work with. I told them this story about being drum major, and they said, "Oh, you majored in drums?"
Okay.
Yep. I don't see her anymore.
Valedictorian. Yeah. Valedictorian of her class.
Oh, come on.
Very nice. By the way, just a couple of things coming up. We will place our bets at 1:45 today. All three of my bets will be President's Cup related. I'm completely geeked by it, even though it does appear that it may be non-competitive, although it's early. Right now, it's still tied. We have one match on the course. They're not even through a hole yet. And we will also do, for the first time this year, we should have done it before the season began, but for the first time this year, we will do top five, bottom five, and every Thursday we'll do top five, bottom five in the NFL. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of competition for the bottom five. There's way more competition for the bottom five than there is for the top five. In fact, there are some people who would put a team in the top five that I am considering for the bottom five.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Because people will just, this is the way we do rankings. The way we do college football rankings, that we ignore the games, we only look at the scores and the records and go, well, they're 2-0. Why aren't they one of the? No. And I'll just tell you right now, I don't think they're going to make the bottom five, but I considered the Giants.
Yeah.
I considered the Giants for the bottom five, but I'm going to give them a break because they have won two games, including one on the road against a team that theoretically might be okay, although I have my doubts about 0-2 Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I have my doubts. So set that aside. But that's coming up at 2:30. We'll do top five, bottom five in the NFL. We're going to do that. And I know that I was going to mention this at the beginning. When Dallas lost their quarterback, Dak Prescott, for the year to injury in week one, obviously people were like, oh my gosh, it's over for Dallas. And it all depends on what you thought about Dallas. I don't think any differently of Dallas today than I thought of during or after that injury. And my reason is that I don't think that highly of Dallas. But what Dallas does have is a really good defense. And I think that their win over Cincinnati is more about Cincinnati than Dallas, but they have a defense that is good enough to get them out of a game or two. And it clearly was good enough to get them out of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, Dallas might be able to tread water until Dak Prescott is back, and then they'll disappoint you if you are a Dallas fan, because I really don't think their offense is that good. But maybe I'm wrong, and I could be wrong. Heck, I'm mostly wrong. Somebody who is never wrong, Connor O'Neill, who covers both Duke and Wake Forest. Connor O'Neill _DI, which could stand for Deacons Illustrated or Devils Illustrated. He will tell us which one it is. And he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. So which one is it? Is the DI? Oh, we have applause for everybody. It's a canned studio audience, Connor, although I would applaud you. Does DI stand for Deacons or Devils Illustrated?
It depends on which one I'm talking about.
There
when I'm
go.
Talking about Duke, it's Devils. When I'm talking about Wake, it's Deacons.
All right, so it'll be both today. Let's start with Wake. What do you make of last week's struggles with Liberty? Was that about Liberty, which it may be, or is that about Wake?
I mean, I think it's both, and that's the cop-out, non-answer. But I think there was certainly a degree of we've heard now, like we never hear it going into the game, but we've heard it now that Wake's practices were not good last week. They did not prepare well. They thought that they were going to handle a Group of Five team and roll right into this week. And so then when you look at the game script and see that they didn't even play that well and they found themselves up 20-5 at the end of the first half and 20-8 at halftime, they're probably thinking like, man, we made a bunch of mistakes. We're slow up 2 touchdowns. This is in the bag. So then when Liberty comes out and hits them with rapid fire touchdowns in the second half and all of a sudden has a lead, yeah, that was a little bit of a gut check. And everything in that third quarter for Wake was just awful. Like you watch the first half and you think, man, they're like, how does this game ever get to the point where Wake only wins by one? And then you watch the third quarter and it's like, how did Wake win this game? Everything went terribly. So, I mean, I'm not taking away any credit from Liberty. They had a really good game plan. They melted the clock away on offense, which they hadn't done in the first two games. And, you know, let's give you a little tease for where this is going. They did a lot of things with their defensive front that Clemson has done in the last few years. They crashed the edges and pressured the A-gap. And when you do those things against the RPO, you speed up the timing of the offense, and Wake kind of loses their rhythm if you do that sometimes.
Connor O'Neill, Deacons Illustrated for the time being, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. It was a game that I was worried about. I was more worried before Sam Hartman came back. But with Hartman back and now 2 games in, I was less worried about it. But, like, Liberty is a program that, frankly, I'm not sure why everybody schedules. And I'm not talking about it for those reasons. I'm talking about it's a program that has a lot of talent. And they have a lot of, they use the portal well. They are coached really well. So it's one of those programs, like, you're asking for a problem when you schedule them. But I was on with, you know, Josh Graham from WSJS in...
Just where I say unfortunately.
you don't have to say that. That's fine.
No,
if that's,
I love
that. I do too.
I love Josh.
Josh is on the program tomorrow. So here's the thing, is that he was appalled that I might think that State was better than Wake because last year Wake was better than State. Is it possible that, because I don't, the teams are not the same, even if it was the exact same personnel, is it possible that this year's version of Wake Forest isn't as good as last year's version?
Yeah, I think you could
you could certainly make that case. You know, I don't know if Wake had kept the pedal on the gas and blown by Liberty, I don't know if that's quite as easy of a case to make. But right now, yeah, I mean, what's kind of, I'm writing about it now, so there'll be a story on Deacon's Illustrated in the matter of the next couple hours, but Wake's running game has been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it quietly was not good for the last five games last season. Look, Sam Hartman is a dynamic quarterback. You don't want to be running the ball to the point where Sam is only throwing 20 times in a game. You want to be able to maximize how many times you have the ball in your best player's hands. But when you run an RPO offense, when you run this offense that is predicated on taking what the defense gives you, if every defense is going to take away the pass and do what they can to nullify the advantages that you have when you have receivers like A.P. Perry, Donovan Green, and Jamal Banks, and the guys in the slot, you're going to need to run the ball better than they have. And it's kind of, you know, it's not like it's been terrible for eight games, but the last five last year and then the first three this year, their running game has not been nearly as strong as it was in the first half of last season. They've got to get that figured out.
All right, let's talk about Clemson coming in. The Tigers, I know it's Louisiana Tech, but they looked better as that game wore on with DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback than I had seen them. Granted, I understand the competition. They just looked better. What is Wake's challenge this week? Because Clemson could be looking past the Demon Deacons to next week against NC State.
Yeah, all the trap game talk this week was Wake in a trap game against Liberty. I hadn't thought of it from that angle. You know, Clemson getting the revenge game at home against State. That'll be a big angle. I think as improved as DJ looks, your game plan, if you're Wake, has to be make DJ beat us with his arm.
Right.
Because it's a Clemson team that ran for 332 yards against Wake last year, and that was with a banged up Will Shipley. That guy's healthy now. I mean, he could take this game over. Little Christian McCaffrey light there. He could really do some damage in this game. So I think Wake has to put more effort into stopping the run. Liberty had a good game on the ground against them, so that's a little bit of a tough ask. And I think you've got to say, all right, if DJ throws for 350 or 400 yards and beats us, you know, you tip your cap, you don't have to like it, but I think you have a better chance of that not happening than the running game beating you, if I worded that right.
No, you do. You do. The only way right now, I think you have to make DJ prove that he can beat you with his arm. Now, what we haven't seen really from Clemson, and we saw this obviously with Trevor Lawrence, the underrated part of Clemson's offense with Trevor Lawrence is that when they involved him in the running game, really in terms of, quarterback keepers, they became impossible. DJ's not the same runner, even though a lot of people think he should be. But he has not been nearly as good as Trevor Lawrence was in zone reads.
Right. And, you know, the other part about Clemson's offense that I don't think gets talked enough about is, look, we know the three quarterbacks before DJ were really, really, really talented. They're also throwing to NFL receivers. Like, you're throwing to guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Hunter Renfro, yes. T. Higgins, Justin Ross. Like, some of these guys they had making catches, you or I could come out and maybe throw for 200 yards.
Sure.
If we're throwing to those guys. I'm not trying to say their receivers are terrible this year. They're not terrible. And they're all guys that had big-time recruiting hype and stuff. I just don't know if they're on that level. So that's where everybody wants to talk about, you know, how good is DJ? How is DJ going to be? You know, they've they're going to have a short leash because Cade Klubnik is right there and he's going to be playable and Dabo's going to bench DJ for Cade. It's like, I think they have some confidence in DJ. I think DJ has improved and smoothed out some fundamentals. His mental game is better than it was last year. And they got to give him the benefit of the doubt if he's not got the same type of receivers that the guys before him did.
All right, final thing. We're going to ask you to put your – by the way, do you think – do you like Wake at home against Clemson or no? You're not allowed to say.
Yeah, I try to walk the third street line.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're going to put your Devils Illustrated hat on, even though on our screen, because we put this show on TV – it says Deacon's Illustrated publisher, Connor O'Neill, who is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Suddenly, we struck big game with Duke at Kansas. Nobody had this before the season as a battle of unbeaten 3-0 squads. But what has Duke done that has impressed you this year? And I don't know if it's going to happen this week. I think Kansas is actually pretty good. So what have the Blue Devils done that you didn't expect this year?
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Their offense is smoother than I thought it would be. You know, it wasn't just a new offensive staff. It was an offense that had to replace a quarterback, a 1,200-yard running back, and a receiver. I think Jake Bobo caught something like 75 or 77 passes last year.
Yeah.
They're having to replace those guys with some guys that were around last year but weren't in nearly as big roles as they have. And not only have they acclimated very well to Kevin John's offensive system, but they're embracing those roles. They're able to kind of step into these lead roles. And that's really, I think we've paid a lot of attention this week on the Duke side of things to what Kansas's quarterback, Jalen Daniels, can do. I think I just saw Max Olson with The Athletic has a feature on him that I want to dig into, but this game could turn into a track meet. Like, Duke's offense can score some points and keep up with some other offenses. So, you know, the Champions Classic of the gridiron, I think I'd like that to kind of take off. And it's 52 days before these teams play in Indianapolis on the basketball side of things.
I mean, it's funny. I've seen stories. Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, all undefeated. It's tremendous. It's just basketball becoming football. Connor O'Neill.
John Calipari.
Well, I'm sure John and Mark Stoops are very, very close friends. I'm sure they're...
That's when they got called into the principal's office.
I am sure Cal will be at all of Kentucky's home games this year. There is no question about it. At Connor O'Neill _DI, you decide whether or not it's for Deacons or Devils Illustrated. Thank you very much. You have another challenge on your hands. Both games are in the noon window. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
You got it. Connor O'Neill. He is fantastic. All right, let's get to the half.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, Adam.
By the way, I have a new theme.
Yes.
For this going forward. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, perfect. Okay. It's a tease.
Yeah, it is.
You know what today is, though?
Today is, do I remember the 21st of September?
Exactly. AKA the first day of fall.
Right. What is it, 93 outside?
I know,
94?
Even though it doesn't feel like
outside
it.
Tomorrow. Fall is here tomorrow.
Right. The 24-hour period is set in tomorrow. Yeah. No, I love fall. It's my favorite. But one not so good thing about today, it's actually the most dangerous day to drive.
September 22nd or
yes.
The first day of fall?
Well, today.
I guess that's the same.
Yes.
It's always, never mind.
It's the same
never
thing.
Mind.
Yes to
never
all those
mind.
Questions. It's okay. It's almost Friday. So the fall equinox is where the sun rises exactly in the east, sets in the west. This causes a lot of windshield glare. Okay. So they just say to be careful, take extra time, which all of us should be doing, but make sure that you have your sunglasses handy. It also says to make sure you need to Windex, like the inside and outside of your, which, yes, I do too. And just to slow down, because the sun will blind you as you're on your way home today from work.
So we turn left to go to the street where I'm going to drop my son off at school. And we turn right into the sun.
Every time.
Every morning. And it's like it goes right through your eyes into the back of your brain.
Yes, in your soul.
Yes.
I know.
I could feel the sun in my toes. Terrible.
And it's always at the worst spot where it's like right under your like visor.
Yep.
So
yep.
It does nothing. You literally have to like have your fingers up like, yeah.
It's just
so unsafe. So,
an animal doesn't run across the road.
I know, or a person, or anything. Yeah,
yes, I'm
please.
More worried about an animal where I'm turning. But still, yes, it is the worst.
All the things. So yeah, be careful on your way home. It is fall, but it's the most dangerous day. So.
I didn't realize it was the most dangerous thing.
I didn't either, but hey, you learn something new every day.
I also did just realize that September 22nd is also always the first day of fall.
I know. Sometimes it's a little tricky. Some holidays change.
Yep.
So this is, people have quirks, right? Everyone has their quirks. Well, is there something about people that's the most annoying thing that is also their personality? So for instance, people who love Disney.
Oh, gosh.
They let you know that they love Disney every opportunity.
I'm going through flashbacks. Disney's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, Disney's fine.
It's expensive, but it's
fine. Yeah, I have not been. Literally, I have not been to Walt Disney World since my freshman year. No, my sophomore year of college.
Oh, okay.
My family was still doing family trips to Florida to visit relatives. And we actually we had a stop. We spent like 4 hours in Walt Disney World because that was the last time I went to Walt Disney World.
Yes. I've been one time and it rained the whole time.
I've not taken my kids.
Every single day. Yeah.
My kids have not been.
It's probably completely different. Well, something on Reddit, which is, you know, the deep abyss where you can just lose yourself. They actually listed off some things that are the most annoying. So be careful if you fall into these categories.
Okay.
This seems obvious, politics, some people with their jobs. Now, remind you, this is your personality. Like, you are, this is what you are kind of thing. Shows and movies, I guess. Exercising. Okay, I know this because, see, I lift weights. I don't do CrossFit, but CrossFit falls into that.
Oh, yeah, those people are nuts.
Right,
those people are nuts.
Whether you're vegan, vegetarian, but here's where it relates to us, being a sports fan.
Apparently,
really? That's annoying.
That's
annoying.
I could totally understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the gym this morning. What is it about people who refuse? They're walking on the wrong side of the stairs or whatever. Like, if you're doing that, fine, no problem. We're not going to arrest you. But don't make me move.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
Right. You're like, everybody else is coming down on this side.
Yes.
I'm coming up where I'm supposed to be. Don't make me. You're just walking straight at me. I'm
right.
Like, dude.
It's like the Costco thing.
You move over.
It's not right. I know. We won't open that Pandora's box.
Don't get me started on Costco.
I know.
I love Costco. I just hate the people who
I
go
know,
there.
I know. The driving's ridiculous. Okay. Yeah. And last thing. So, if you need a side gig, there's a company that's willing to pay you $50,000 to move to Iceland so you can live a simpler life. Yes.
Okay.
This is the gist of it. A yogurt company named Siggy's will pay one person to move to Iceland for a simpler life. Now, with this job, you're going to have to share your experience. You only have to work 4 days a week. You have to take a lot of pictures, be on social media, but you basically just live your life and be a social media person, and they'll pay you $50,000 a year.
Well, wait a second. They will pay you $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Can we find out, how's the internet in Iceland?
That's a good question.
Because, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. Could take this. I could do the show from Iceland.
Right? Technology's great.
It's, I mean, Iceland is on, isn't it, it should be Greenwich Mean Time. Maybe it might even be a year, an hour earlier.
True.
Not sure. It's probably Greenwich Mean Time, give or take one.
Yeah.
So noon start, 6 o'clock in the evening start, 5 o'clock depending.
Right.
Like, I want to watch Premier League soccer anyway, so it's better than getting up at 7 o'clock to watch it on Saturdays.
True. Well, so. And the average temperature, so I just looked it up, for the month of September, right now, it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Gosh, in that's September. Good. Gosh, that's good.
So it's beautiful, but it is much colder because October, it's like 44. Yeah, so I know.
I'm fine with it being colder.
Yeah.
Iceland's lovely.
True.
Right? I've seen pictures. I've never been there. Yeah, I'd be all about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's crazy. I would be curious to see who they actually pick. But there you
go.
I'm going to apply for it now. You can't leave. Well, that's okay. We can just air link. We can Skype through the whole show. It's fine.
Oh, no. I could get a super duper internet line if they have good internet in Iceland. I don't know why they wouldn't have good internet in Iceland.
Of course.
You can fit the entire island in the studio.
I know. Well, it kind of feels like a cold island in the studio. So you're kind of halfway there.
I'm glad it's chillier in the studio. Is there a nation? Is there a place you would like to go live?
Ooh, I don't know about
Other live. Than Iceland. Now I'm interested.
Exactly.
I'm
now
doing
it's
internet
a thing.
Searches for Iceland.
It's a whole thing. It's really pretty, so you probably shouldn't. I don't know about live, but I know I definitely want to visit places like Australia and Greece. I've been to Europe before,
right?
But I haven't been to those places, so I'd really like. They seem beautiful.
Greece would be a difficult place to do the show
because
there's a lot of distractions. I believe
food. I eat all the food.
Oh, gosh.
I just eat all the time.
You could go swimming in olive oil in Greece.
Yes, and wine.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, you have good taste, and that's where you're going to retire.
Yes.
Fantastic.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.